It's just after 6 o'clock here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from the 100-watt best L station there is, radio station. Wait, I don't think that made sense. Anyway, 88.7 and podcasting exclusively on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, coming to you from a soundproof booth just outside of the Park West in Lincoln Park. This is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thanks, little announcer guy, I think. What is that? Did that make sense?
Kind of? No, not really.
Not really? No.
He's writing his own stuff again.
Well, he just left the soundproof booth right now. I think he's going down to, what's that bar? Gamekeepers? I think he's down at Gamekeepers down the street.
Oh, boy.
Oh, little announcer guy, thanks for that fine voice work. And welcome to Outside the Loop Radio. This, the 86th edition of Chicago's Almost Above Ground Audio Magazine. I am your host, Mike Steven.
And I am your executive producer, Andy Herman.
And we are happy to be back here on the airwaves of 88.7 WLUW. Broadcasting this show, we are back in the soundproof booth as we are each week here on OTL. And by the way, welcome Di of Razor and Di taking over the full-on Friday experience that precedes this show.
Very nice.
Very nice to have her part of the Friday crew now. Yeah, the Friday crew.
That fantastic lineup of Friday talent.
And then Slacky J is coming up right after this show. I mean, the rock does not stop.
The hits never end.
No, sir. No, sir. It's one hit after another, one bit of insanity to the next. And we hope you stick around for the next half hour here on Outside the Loop Radio. If you're wondering what this slice of radio is all about, well, I'll tell you, because I'm that kind of guy. What we do here on the show is we take a look at issues and topics that are all local, happening around Chicagoland, and we do some interviews, we have discussions about these issues and topics, and it's a way where we can shine the 100-watt spotlight on some issues that don't normally get attention, and if they do, we'll provide for some more discussion, and we will also take some other angles on various community issues. So it's all about Chicagoland, and it's right here on WLUW Outside the Loop Radio. Now, Andy.
Yes, Mike.
This came up this week. I was paging through the Chicago Sun-Times.
Mm.
And you know how we have here in Chicago honorary street signs?
Yes.
The brown street signs that usually are on top or underneath the green street signs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the city council this week honored 21 new inductees. I don't really know if you call them inductees, but 21 new designations of honorary streets.
Yes.
And one of those honorary designations, and I don't understand why. Maybe you can shed some light on this. Pat Sajak, host of Wheel of Fortune. Is he from here?
Yeah, he's from here.
I had no idea.
Yeah, old school, man. Pat Sajak, come on.
Oh, wait, I did know this. He was a radio guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he did radio here, but he was from here. He went to high school in town, yeah.
Do you know what high school?
Not offhand.
That's
in the city, yeah.
You know, now that you say that, it kind of makes sense. Initially, I didn't think he was from around here. But
I think this is a great move by city council. Pat Sajak?
Pat Sajak
legend.
Has his own street. But that was that went through the city council. And Alderman Tom Allen of the 38th, he said, by the way, he's the transportation committee chairman in the city council. He gave his colleagues a choice. He said either eliminate the honorary street designation perk or submit a biographical description of the honoree, which I think is reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, these aldermen could, you know, their brother-in-law could have an honorary designated street.
Mike Stephen Lane.
Maybe that biographical thing isn't such a good idea after
come
all.
On.
Call up Manny Flores, see what he can do. He's my alderman. But I think that's reasonable. Let's make the alderman write something, or their staffs write something about who we're going to honor on the streets for eternity. Just a thought. Makes sense. But Pat Sajak, among 21 individuals honored by honorary street designations. So there you are. Look for that street coming your way very soon here in Chicago. Andy, we have a lot to do here on Outside the Loop, as we always do each week. Very fun show. Lots to talk about. Well, that's enough about Pat Sajak. Later in the program, sir, what will we be doing?
Oh, Mike, Steven, you know I love it when you ask me this.
The price is right, Andy Herman.
What?
That would be Wheel of Fortune. Go ahead.
Much better. Coming up just a little bit later, we're going to be checking in with a former Chicago resident in a celebrated tribute band. They're expanding. They have expanded out to L.A. And then after that, we will learn about open water swimming in our waterways right here in Chicago.
Yes, we will. But first, we'll learn about the best and worst CTA L stops. Don't go anywhere. And the music this week comes from Tributosaurus. They are an incredible local cover band. And they are playing actually right outside of the Soundproof booth tonight at Park West. More details on this show later on in Outside the Loop Radio. That's what you're listening to. I'm your host, Mike Steven, here with Andy Herman, executive producer here on 88.7 WLUW.
Red rain is coming down.
Now, I know that we've talked about the CTA on this show before, Andy, but there are so many different angles that you could take with the Chicago Transit Authority. And earlier in the week in the Chicago Sun-Times, this was really cool to see. I thought this was a very interesting article and one that I think all of us can relate to because just about everybody rides the CTA at one time or another in Chicago. Mary Wisneski is a transportation reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, and she wrote about the best and the worst of the L and those subway stops. And when you take a look at this list, I mean, seriously, you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, she's right. The smell, the garbage. But on the other hand, there's some very, very good things about some of the L stops around Chicago. Mary Wisneski is on the phone with us right now here on Outside the Loop Radio. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. Now, this is a really cool article that you wrote. It came out earlier in the week, and you can go on to suntimes.com to check out this article. It's basically a list of categories and what stations fit into those categories. How did you come up with this idea of putting some of these L stations in categories like this?
Well, I was doing all the different L platforms for research just on my beat, and as I was going around, I was taking notes and just thinking, well, you know, I'm pretty scared on this station because the platform is so narrow over at State and Lake, so this is the scariest platform. When I went at the Conservatory Central Park Drive, I thought, wow, I don't even want the train to come. This is such a lovely place to wait for a train, and so I just came up with them kind of as I went along. And I could have created more, but we ended up with this list.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple right there. The scariest platform at State and Lake, and you write, Clark and Lake is not far behind. You write that it's the combination of the really narrow platforms with so many riders crowding onto them. At its deepest, and I thought this was interesting, at its deepest, the State and Lake platform is just 8 feet front to back. In some spots, though, commuters have just 3.5 feet. That's 3.5 feet to maneuver because of posts. That is incredible. And really, that's something I didn't even realize. I've been on that platform a bunch, but that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, well, it's people watch themselves, obviously. You know, we're all urban warriors here, and we're aware of our surroundings, but there has been accidents on this platform before. And this is a very old platform, and this is built back in 1894 when there were fewer people. And I'm sure that the CTA would like to do something about this platform, but they're kind of limited in how much they can do because of where it is. You know, it's not like, you know, you can't knock over buildings to make a wider platform. So people just have to be really careful. I would hate to be on this platform with a rambunctious toddler. That would be a really nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah, it sure sounds that way. You know, this the fourth one on the list, you have it's coolest art, which is a pretty neat category. And you write about the 18th Street station on the Pink Line. And you write that it's covered with colorful Mexican folk designs. Tell us a little bit about this 18th Street station on the Pink Line.
Well, this is right in Pilsen, right by the Mexican Fine Art Museum. And it's just beautiful. There's your Our Lady of Guadalupe. There's different, Aztec images. There's pictures of people making tortillas. There's pictures of people dancing. I didn't want the train to come, because I was so busy looking at all the different things that were on there. And you can really occupy yourself with this, and it's really nice. I wish all the platforms were like this, and it would make waiting for the train when it's late that much more pleasant.
Well, speaking on the opposite end of the spectrum, you write a number 7 here, the category top spot for drunks. That's top spot for drunks. You write that's from the 47th Street southbound platform on the Green Line. We saw a rooftop littered with 54 empty liquor bottles and one discarded cane. That's kind of depressing.
Well, it was, though. I saw that cane and I thought, someone, that Wild Irish Rose must have been doing somebody some good. They decided to get rid of their walking stick. it was depressing. It's not the CTA's fault that there's those bottles down there. It was a private building, the rooftop. But I thought, someone must have been drinking up on that platform to keep warm or whatever. But, I was wondering, wow, this is quite the place for tippling late at night or something.
Yeah. Well, the worst or the ghastliest station you write about is the Division Street platform on the Blue Line. And I know what you're talking about because I live over by there. You write, there's mush of garbage. There's water between the tracks. There's really bad lighting, filthy walls. It's crowded. That is just sometimes like a bad nightmare.
Right, it is. And, it's kind of like, film noir directors, here's where you can, shoot your urban nightmare scene, drug deal gone bad or whatever. This is a tough category because there's several nasty-looking subway stations. And it's kind of just a combination of age of the station and the fact that there's water damage and there's water stains on the walls. And also it's very, very noisy down there. Because that's right where the subway comes through, and when the subway comes through, you can see people, covering their ears. But they're old stations. They've been around since the 40s and the 50s, and there hasn't been a lot of work done on them.
Well, it's interesting because we're seeing now the CTA sort of picking and choosing which stations they're choosing to rehab, and they are rehabbing various stations. I mean, it's not like they're doing absolutely nothing about the age of these stations and the conditions that they're in, and you wish that they could just get to every one, but that's probably not realistic.
No, one thing that, they don't have a lot of money because we're waiting for a capital bill from Springfield, and, people are less and less optimistic that there's going to be one. Right now they're doing a rehab at Grand and State, which desperately needed it, but they got that money from the federal government, and they got some of that money from the city. That wasn't CTA money. And it looks like that the places that they're picking for their rehab are places that get a lot of traffic, places that are nearer downtown. It creates a first impression for the city if you have tourists down there and they see this kind of, grim environments, and, it kind of gives them a bad impression of the city. So I think that's part of what's influencing. And I'm sure that, the CTA would love to rehab all the stations, but they only have so much money to work with.
Well, hopefully this list that Mary Wisniewski put together will kind of spark a little bit of fire in the CTA. Maybe we can get some more money from somewhere. Yeah, maybe. That's the big question. We'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, you can go on to suntimes.com and read this best and worst of L and subway stops by Mary Wisniewski, who is the transportation reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Mary, thanks so much for talking to us, and thanks for riding all 242 miles of the L.
If you're a lover of the city, which I am, you're living the dream. You're riding the L all over the place.
Thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you.
I'm gonna rent myself a house in the shade of the freeway. I'm gonna pack my lunch in the morning and go to work.
This is Andy Herman, executive producer of Outside the Loop on your listener-supported community radio, 88.7 WLUW.
And this is your host, Mike Steven. Happy that you are joining us tonight here on this 86th edition of Outside the Loop Radio. Right now, we're listening to some music from Tributosaurus, and each week we feature local music on Outside the Loop. So we would love for you to send us some of yours, info@outsidetheloopradio.com. But Tributosaurus, man, these guys rule, and they're playing tonight just outside of where we're broadcasting the show from right now at the Park West. That's at 322 West Armitage. And Tributosaurus is an incredible cover band. We'll talk about them more in just a second here. But they become Queen tonight.
Awesome.
Oh, boy. So that's tonight, Tributosaurus. You can go on to Tributosaurus.com. And you can also go on to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. That's OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. That's the show website. And vote for us in the best podcast category, because we still podcast the show through the Chicago Reader. We have a link on our website, right?
There's a link right at the top right now. Go to ChicagoReader.com or just go through our website and vote for the best podcast.
And since this is Chicago, vote early and vote often.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk all about Tributosaurus, Andy, because,
absolutely,
like I said, these guys absolutely rule. They are perhaps the greatest cover band I've ever seen, and I'm not kidding. They just have as many people on stage as it takes to replicate the sound that you hear off of a record.
Exactly.
We went to go see them at Park West, where they're playing tonight, when they were doing Zeppelin, and they had like 1,000 people on stage just doing, you know, Jimmy Page guitar overdubs.
Members of the CSO.
Oh, my God, for the Rain song?
Yeah, fantastic.
Beautiful. Well, anyway, Tributosaurus tonight, and this is very, very bold of them, Tributosaurus becomes Queen. Queen, okay? Not exactly easy to do. With us on the line right now is Matt Spiegel, who is a part of Tributosaurus. He actually moved out to Los Angeles. He started up Tributosaurus LA to start the world domination that would be from Tributosaurus. Matt, welcome to Outside the Loop.
Gentlemen, how are you? Good to be here.
Doing okay, man. This show tonight, you become Queen. First of all, before we get into that, just to give everyone a little bit of a more of a background on this band, every month here in Chicago, Tributosaurus becomes a new band, right? Take us through this.
Yeah, it started in August of 2002. Had the idea and invited these fabulous musicians who Chris Neville and Kurt Morris and Dan Leali, and it was Brian Maurer at the beginning. Now it's Jonathan Paul on the bass, and my wife Shauna at the beginning as well. And we do a different band every month. And even though I have not been in Chicago for the last 6 or 7 months, but those guys are rolling on strong as all hell. Tributo Chicago is killing. And every month it is a different band. And it is, as you described, whatever is needed to serve the material. If there's a five-piece horn section, we get a five-piece horn section. If there's three guitars and four backing vocalists and two keyboard rigs, that's what we get. When it was Santana and we needed three percussionists, that's what we got. You know, whatever is needed to make the music exactly as you remember it. Not looking to give you our new spin on something crafty, you know, some crafty new version, but to looking to deliver exactly that which you grew up loving and hearing. So that was the ethos behind it, and it rolls on, and tonight should be an unbelievable night in the history of the project, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Now, what are those rehearsals like? Because you have so many people that you're working with. Talk us through these rehearsals, and how on earth do you, like with a band like Queen or Zeppelin or something like that, how do you pick which songs you're going to do?
Well, that happens for much further in advance. We talk at the beginning, and the band is chosen, and then everybody gets picks. Everybody gets three picks. Well, sometimes more as the set lists have grown through the months and through the years. But everybody gets picks, and there are no vetoes. There is no veto power. You are just expected to pick smartly and pick intelligently, and everybody kind of knows. I mean, people pick a hit or two, and they usually pick a nice deep cut, something, some kind of big fan-only nugget. And then the set comes together that way, and then everybody does their work individually throughout the course of the month. Everybody just listens down, and the tunes are posted. We all know exactly what we're listening for. Everybody does their work. Sometimes there might be a little sectional rehearsal. The horn sections might get together, or vocalists will probably get together and do a vocal rehearsal. And then there's one big blowout rehearsal, just one giant rehearsal with everybody together. And that took place a couple of nights ago for Queen, and heard that went fabulously well. And then the gig comes. And there's usually a day of reflection between the rehearsal and the gig where everybody thinks about what they screwed up at rehearsal, and everybody gets it together. And by showtime, everything's perfect as far as you're concerned.
Man, that is incredible, because, like I said, I've seen Tributosaurus, and to know that there's really basically only one big rehearsal where everyone is in the same room, to know that and then to hear the final product is really incredible. How do you guys select which bands you are going to become?
Well, that is done. Everybody sort of talks. The Corps sort of talks about it. And I got to say, it's an odd place for me right now. And having moved from there, you know, I'm still involved in a lot of the conversations. But those guys are doing it, and those guys deserve all the credit in the world for where it is right now. But there. But you know, everybody just kind of talks. And there's we have a little list. There's still a lot of low hanging fruit. A lot of great bands that have not been done that need to be done. But it's got to be a band that deserves it. You know, you got to be able to go 15 deep. You know, you can think of a lot of different bands that you'd love to do 8 or 9 tunes from, but then you get to tunes 10 or 11 or 12 and you're suffering your way through some stuff that you're really regretting. So you've got to be careful as you make those choices. But there is some conversation on it, and there's a little more planning than maybe there used to be. Now there's planning a couple of months in advance usually. But, you know, nobody knows until the end of the night who the band is next month, because at the end of the night there's one tune, an encore, where we play the song by the band we're going to be the next month. So that's when everybody figures it out.
Well, Matt, Tributosaurus is so much fun to see live and really an incredible musical experience. Tonight at the Park West, Tributosaurus becomes Queen. That show, 8:30 this evening at the Park West, 322 West Armitage Avenue right here in Chicago. You can check out Tributosaurus.com, also MySpace.com/Tributosaurus, and then you can link up through those websites to Tributosaurus LA. That's what Matt is working on, and also lots of surprises tonight. So tonight, Tributosaurus becomes Queen. It's going to be insane. Matt, I just communicate all to the entire band best of luck, and I hope the band rocks Park West tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I think it's sold out. I regret to inform the listeners that I do believe it's sold out, but maybe we'll have scalping. Scalping is fun to see.
That goes over so well here in Chicago.
No one will be in trouble, that's for sure. And let me know when you guys are west. You can come to a Tributo Los Angeles show. Pretty exciting stuff going on out here as well.
Sounds like a plan, Matt. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Now, here's a very important question. Are you a lake monster? Andy, are you a lake monster?
I'm not sure.
You're not really sure?
What is a lake monster?
Someone who is a beast in the water. If you are a lake monster, you swim a lot in the lake. You are a master of the water. You love swimming in open water. Are you a lake monster?
No, I'm not.
Are you a water monster?
I do enjoy swimming. I've never done the open water swim.
You're like a water demon.
Yeah.
You're getting there. Okay, I see. Well, if you are a lake monster, or if you just enjoy swimming in open water, go on to openwaterchicago.com. That's openwaterchicago.com. It's this really interesting blog, and it's put out by Steve Hernan. Steve loves swimming in open water. He does a lot of endurance sports, and this is just a little sample of what he's writing on openwaterchicago.com. He writes, "We had a great swim this morning. I was a bit concerned about the water temperature given the 45 degree days we've been having, but the lake actually seemed a bit warmer this time around. I didn't do an official measurement, but I'd estimate the water temperature was in the 50 to 53 degree Fahrenheit range."
Wow.
That's not warm water. Steve Hernan is on the phone with us right now. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, fellas.
Now, Steve, this is a really cool concept, I think. Basically, what you're doing here is you're getting a group of people together to swim in the lake, not a swimming pool, and it could be for recreation or for endurance, but it's just the collaborative nature of swimming in open water, right?
Right. I don't know if you or any of the listeners have had a lot of experience swimming in pools. I find it to be incredibly boring and limiting, and once you swim in open water, it's incredibly difficult to go back to that environment.
Are there misconceptions, though, about swimming in open water? Because all we hear about, unfortunately, is, oh, man, there was another drowning or there was an accident in the lake with someone swimming. But that can actually, I mean, that's not always the case. This can be a lot of fun, too.
Oh, I will tell you, it is a total blast. But there are misconceptions, but at the same time, there are also serious reservations. I think many people's concerns are absolutely right. You have to be concerned about your exposure to the weather. You have to watch the water temperature. You have to watch the weather conditions. You have to be aware of potential dangers in the water. Luckily, along the coast here, at least along the Chicago beaches, you don't have some of the hazards that you might have in other circumstances, but they're still there. This is a wild environment. It's not a controlled environment like a pool. So, yeah, you do have to be cognizant, but I think most cases, they are a bit overstated.
So I mentioned that you were in endurance sports, but you really welcome everyone with Open Water Chicago. Tell us a little bit about who you're looking for in terms of people joining up and what people can expect, because this isn't going to be like you're going for a triathlon here, right?
No, not at all. One of the reasons that I started the site, and I even make a note of it in the About Us section, is that when I first started out swimming in open water, I thought it was the neatest, most thrilling thing in the world, but at the same time, there wasn't any group, and there weren't too many individuals to coach you. You would go for a seminar here and there, and then you'd do your event, and you'd be completely overwhelmed. So it can be a little bit intimidating because you have the unknown that's involved with it. And what I wanted to do is create an environment or a group where people could try it out, whether they're training for an event or whether they just literally wanted to jump in and tread water and see what it's like to be outside of a pool environment, and do so in more of a group setting so they weren't doing it alone, which is not a good idea. You should never swim alone.
So when do you get together? How often does Open Water Chicago get together to take a dip in the lake?
Well, we just started getting into the lake. I set the threshold at about 50 degrees that we start going into the lake, and the water has cooperated. So we started going in. This has been our third week so far. I would say we're going to start going in at least on a weekly basis, if not twice a week. The times will change. The venues will possibly change as well, too. But as you get into the summer sports season, you have more people training for a number of different events. So generally, the interest in this type of activity and this type of organized structure increases.
Now, when people join up with Open Water Chicago, when they come to swim with you and everyone else, Steve, what should they bring? Should they bring a wetsuit? Because that's pretty cold water when you're talking 50 degrees. The coldest I think I've been in is just under 60, and that was out in Galena for the Galena Triathlon a couple times. And that was really cold. I had a wetsuit, and once I got going, I felt pretty good. But the initial shock of getting in, even with a wetsuit, and that was about 58 degrees, I would say, that was pretty rough. So should people bring wetsuits?
You know, that's a great question. I've done swims in other venues before, and I've seen people swim in 50-degree water with no wetsuit at all. That's not for me, and I wouldn't recommend the average person does it. I recommend generally between, I think, 50 and 60 degrees that people do wear a wetsuit or at least consider it. I have several posts on the site with regards to gauging your own internal ability to handle cold water one way or the other, how to manage it. Cold water gear you might want to consider wearing in different temperature ranges. But for the lower temperatures, I would say defer to it. It's like overdressing for an event. You can always take something off. But, you can't, if you underdress, you can't put something on.
How big do you anticipate this group growing to?
I really don't have any reservations one way or the other. There is one caveat, though. I mean, generally, especially as the summer goes on, I mean, we're out there very early in the morning, 6 a.m., sometimes even 5:30, and that usually weeds out the people that are a little bit less serious about it. The cold water does, too, but generally, as it gets warmer, more people get interested. So, it comes down to everybody is welcome. Yet, I don't own the lake. It's everybody's lake, so I don't have any restrictions or limitations on how people enjoy it. I just create a forum for people to do it together.
Well, if you're interested in being a lake monster, go to openwaterchicago.com. You can conquer the lake and swim in Lake Michigan and have a lot of fun with a group of people. Again, openwaterchicago.com is that website, and Steve Hernan is the founder of that site. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe and have fun in Lake Michigan.
Thank you.
Well, that just about does it for this 86th edition of Outside the Loop Radio, your almost above ground audio magazine here in Chicago. I am your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
Thank you so much for listening to the show that happens every Friday at 6 p.m. here on WLUW 88.7. That website, Andy Herman, what would that be?
OutsidetheLoopRadio.com.
That's right, OutsidetheLoopRadio.com. You can go there right now for the audio archives, the podcast of the show, pictures and video. And we linked up to the Chicago Reader's Best of Chicago 2008 poll.
Yes.
You can go vote for us in the best podcast category if you so desire.
You have until Monday, May 19th.
Not really pushing you.
Not at all.
No.
Vote for us.
Yeah, not pushing you. Monday, May 19th. Do it right now. Thanks so much for listening. A copyright 2008.
Albert James Productions.
Stay tuned because Slacky J is coming up right now with the Reggae Vibe Show here on this Friday evening. Tributosaurus happening tonight right across over there in the Park West. We'll pack up the booth. Get out of here. Thanks to DJ Goldie G, Dave Goldman, for the OTL theme song. Thanks to Lawyer Danny for his mad legal skills. And thanks to you for listening to Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. What city is this?
Chicago.
I love you.